Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
We first need to get some stuff off our chest, which is that we've been watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians Hulu version.
Taylor's version. That's not what it's called, Carol. It's The Kardashians.
Well, Lost Culturistas, they've been calling old Taylor music Scooter's version.
I know. I love that.
The Hulu Kardashians is beautiful. It's breaking the form, breaking the fourth wall constantly, record scratch, going to Kourtney. That's not what I was thinking. Kendall is very much embracing the masculine fashion style, which I love. She's always dressed like she's just going to go fix a toilet.
I disagree any statement. I disagree with any statement that involves loving something about Kendall, but go on.
Oh, okay. I do like that Kendall dresses like she's just joined a bowling league for steel workers in Indiana. Kourtney looks like she found Tumblr at the age of 41. She's finally found a style. She's the kind of girl in middle school who says, you know what? I'm going to paint my fingernails black because I am not like these other girls. I have seen the truth.
Yeah.
And Travis, I only have beautiful feelings for.
Nothing but good. Nothing but pure
good. Nothing but good. He's been through so much, is what my sister reminded us of last night. And my sister was like, he's been through so much. And I was like, you are absolutely right. He has been through it.
I forgot how much he'd been through until Ellen was like, hey, I can't believe you're still not scared to fly planes. And I was like, oh, yeah, he almost died in a plane crash. Like, I totally forgot. Thanks, Ellen. Also, your hostage Porsche standing nearby. Okay.
The fact that Ellen randomly showed up and that they were like, Crit, we haven't told anyone that Travis is proposing to Kourtney. Well, except Ellen. I was why is Ellen involved?
She was at Chris's housewarming party. I think she's like their closest friend, which is a red flag.
Because it's of
like,
money. Yeah. No, it's a red flag.
Their like closest friends are like Michelle Wolf and Ellen, and it's like dark. Here's what I'll say. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
By the way, Carolina for this week wrote an in-depth, like multiple page, well-researched doc for the episode. And my only notes in it were ha 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 Elizabethtown and Scott. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Scott rant.
She literally wrote angry Scott rant in blue as if like, here are my notes.
Just so you know, this part's me, not you, okay? I will say, I cannot fucking stand another second of this family trying to cater to Scott Disick. I find it disgusting. Kourtney and Travis have one of the most beautiful love affairs that I've ever seen. I'm genuinely saying that. Like, I know it sounds stupid, but I'm being completely genuine. She seems more herself than ever. She's so happy with him. She doesn't wear makeup. She just like wears her pajamas and is like, looks more beautiful than I've ever seen a person look. She feels so herself with him. And there was like this scene where they go to the fertility doctor and she's really nervous about getting surgery. And she said like, oh, so tonight you have like your rehearsal, right? And Travis says, like, grabs her by the legs, which is so hot. Like, she's like sitting on the like medical chair, whatever that thing's called. And he like pulls himself closer to her and grabs her legs and is like, no, tonight I'm with you. Like, I'm going to take care of you tonight. And I was just like, I mean, I know it sounds like a small thing that, but to us, it's like amazing that a man would be like, no, I'll hang out with you the night you get surgery. We're like, oh, he is God's gift to earth that he would do that.
I literally like have spent the night in like random college apartments. I mean, when I was in college, to like be with a boyfriend, I've like slept on couches before, but I've never had someone stay over the night in a hospital with me. And if I look to camera, you know I've been in the hospital.
I know. I was going to say, it's not like it's most of us. It's like there's one time. It happens to her a lot, actually. And meanwhile, like the excuses that men give for like not being able to text back just makes me want to throw up over the side of a stone wall. Anyway.
over stone wall. It makes me want to throw the first brick at stone wall.
It makes me want to go back in time and engage in activism. By the way, tune in for later for me to comment on the Elizabeth Town scene involving Martin Luther King Jr., which is just like did not have phenomenal. To be a part of that movie at all. Okay, so so what was I saying? Oh, so they're so in love, and then also like so it goes from that where it's like this sweet moment where he's like, "I'm going to take care of you tonight," and then they come in and they're like, "Oh, it's time for Travis to give his sperm sample," and they basically start being like, "Okay, so what can we do? Like, can I go down on him? Can we have sex?" And like, I was just like, "This is maybe my hormones are crazy because I recently went off birth control," but I was like, "Is this porn?" they're like, "So how can we like have sex for this like sperm sample?" Anyway, loved it, and then basically like. The whole family is free. So Courtney has just gotten engaged to the love of her life. It's not like Kim. She's never been engaged before. She's never been married before. This is her moment. And she literally says she never even thought about getting married until she met Travis. And the whole rest of the family is in a complete fucking tizzy, like mutual freak out about the fact of how Scott is going to feel about Courtney getting engaged.
He's their OJ. He's the new OJ.
He's literally, Courtney and Travis are so calm. Like, that's another thing, too, is like such a good sign. I feel like where it's not like she's like, oh my God. She's just like, yeah, like, oh, cool. Like, this is what we're doing now.
I got this too. She didn't break down during the proposal. Like, she didn't sob. She didn't like fall apart.
It just felt like she was extremely happy, but she's been extremely happy this whole time. And this is just a part of it. And like, it wasn't like, oh my God, after everything we've been through, now we're going to get married, which I feel like is a common thing that it's like, despite the odds and all the ups and downs, here we are getting, it's like, maybe it should just be like,
Amanda and what's her name? His name on Summer House.
Kyle and Amanda. Like, yes. Yeah. And it's very Jax and Brittany from Vanderpump. And their first dance was that Shania Twain, or is it Faith Hill or Shania Twain? Looks like we made it. What song is that?
You said, I said.
Yeah. But just look at us holding. It's like, I don't want to be holding on for dear life when I get married. I want to just be like, everything's been pretty good and here we are. So Courtney and Travis are like serene, cool, whatever. But everyone else is like, so what about Scott? Like, why wasn't Scott invited? Like, Scott feels left out and whatever. And Courtney literally says at one point in a confessional, she's like, I just don't think my engagement should be about Scott. Like my engagement to a completely different person that finally treats me the way I deserve to be treated. And fucking Chloe and Kendall. Chloe, I feel like, is like a little more, she's just like deeply codependent and she's like trying to take care of
Scott.
Maybe
a little bit in love with Scott, but yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, but let's keep going. I mean, seriously. but Kendall at one point, first of all fucking Kendall has given us in 5 full episodes of the show, all she has given us is, I'm sick with COVID, I can't come. A weird scene with her being like, so me and Hailey Bieber are really into health. All we care about is like being healthy. And like, for me, like health is my passion right now. And then her on a balcony at a hotel saying, I love going on little trips like this. Like, I'm just like, so you are saying the most meaningless, boring shit. I honestly actively truly believe that like this might be, if I had a family member like Kendall and was that boring, it might be the first time that I would be like, I think I have to cut someone out of my life. Like, some people are like, okay, I have to cut this family member out of my life because they're in QAnon, or like they're really religious, or like they don't accept me for me. And to me, I'm like, if I had to talk to Kendall about how she really likes going on trips like this and she's passionate about health, I would be like, I'm sorry, but I cannot have you in my life. I cannot have conversations like this. I cannot talk about nothing to you ever again anymore. But then it's like, not only is she nothing, but then when she does say anything interesting, it's just her being a complete and total bitch. When she does anything interesting, when Kendall does anything interesting, she's either being completely ignorant in front of the world, like the Pepsi commercial, or she's saying something extremely bitchy. Like, name one other thing she's done.
She's like the Rinna.
But Rinna,
she knows.
But Rinna is... No.
I like when Devin gets defensive.
No.
She's like, whoa.
No. Rinna starts shit. Rinna can be funny sometimes. I mean, I know that's hard to hear, but it's like, compared to Kendall, she can be funny sometimes.
That's true. That's
she
true.
Creates drama. She exploits her children for drama. Like, Kendall doesn't give us drama. She gives us a bitchy comment every once in a while, and then nothing. Absolute shit, nothing. It's like, get off the show. Don't be a part of this. She goes, I'm actually really passionate about interior design. That's a secret passion of mine. I mean,
so you're rich. This is the thing, like, with Kendall.
People are this stupid? Wait, people are this boring and stupid. Like, how? That's how I felt. I was like, I'm having trouble, like, keeping faith in the world, or like the belief that there's like a God, that someone is this boring.
But she does, to bring it back to Scott, she does say to Courtney the night of Courtney's engagement, like, do you care about how Scott feels?
Yeah, she goes, do you even have compassion for him? Or no, do you even have sympathy for him? And she's like, yeah, I do.
And she's like, well, it doesn't seem like it. Because by the way, it doesn't seem like it.
And it's like, it doesn't seem like it because she's happy and getting engaged as a full adult with children. Like,
after someone who had like 10 years, which is, I like that the family's acknowledging that. They're like, he had his shot. Like,
and he blew it over and over again. And he basically was abusive towards her. And like, we don't need that. But also the fact that they all kept saying, like, so when are you going to talk to Scott about this? And she's like, I don't think I need to. Like, I talked to him about co-parenting. I don't see why I would need to talk to him about anything else. And also, Kim is the only one with a voice of reason when Kendall's being like, I don't think you have compassion for him. And Chloe's like, well, how are you going to talk to him? Kim is like, can we just focus on letting them have like a night to celebrate their engagement, actually? Like, by the way, as I've said, like, the fact that she's dating Pete fully has made me like Kim again, even though I know that she's like a monster and all that stuff. But like, right now, I just like watching her like text with Pete and smile and like be giddy. So I'm pro that, but I just fucking can't. So then Scott, who like all his spawn con that he gets for whatever the fuck, I don't even look at his Instagram, but I'm sure it's like the, you know, low tier spawn con deals. He is honestly a walking advertisement for not using cocaine past the age of 22.
It's like, true.
He looks like fucking shit. He looks terrible. He dresses terrible because he tries to dress like cool and high fashion, and it looks like so shit depressing. On him. And he is so disgusting. So basically, Chloe goes to his house to talk to him about the engagement. Why? Why? Can anyone say why? No. She brings him a care package. Imagine your sister, your family member, bringing your ex a care package after you get engaged to someone else. Like, just let that. I feel like we watch it and we're like, oh, this is normal family dynamic. It's like, step outside.
We can't normalize that. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, care package? Like, this incel behavior is so sickening to me. He's like, care package? Like, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Like, I'm fine. And she's like, okay, I just want to check in, whatever. And he's like, honestly, for me, it's a huge burden lifted.
Oh, like, my God. This was Deep D and Shake from...
Yes, totally.
This is after Deep D dumped Shake, and he was like, honestly, I'm glad it didn't have to be me dumping her. We're going to party. I have a Nobu reservation for next Monday night. Everything's okay. After you've been humiliated.
I forgot he said I have a Nobu reservation.
But that's what I thought of when Scott was like, I've been worried about Courtney, like, because I'm the one who fucked everything up. So now that she has someone taking care of her, it's like, you didn't think she was going to be okay.
Yeah. No, he's like, I'm just glad that, like, she's going to be taken care of now, as if she wasn't fully a single mom of three children for an extremely long time doing it all by herself. Like,
while you're hooking up with, like, high school seniors.
Doing it with, like, 17 nannies or whatever, but still.
Yeah.
But, like, That was so disgusting to me. And the fact that like Chloe sat there and just was like, yeah, okay. And then in her confessional, she's like, I just didn't want to engage with him. Like there was no point, which I guess I can see. But to me, I was like, really? You're just going to let him say that and not be like, no, she's actually completely fine. It just was like, what's going on here? And it was so toxic and disgusting to me. And then basically, Chris goes, so basically the whole next episode becomes Scott being upset that he's not invited to things with the family anymore. And then being like, I mean, I guess Courtney doesn't actually seem to care about it at all. She's like, I guess invite him if you want him to. Like, I don't know if he wants to see me like having PDA with my like fiance, he can, but I don't care. And he's actively going around to every single person and being like, so wait, was that your birthday dinner? I'm like, are you 12 years old? He's going to Kendall's house, Chris's lunch, whatever, saying like, so what's your birthday dinner going to be? Oh, was that your birthday dinner? Oh, who was there? So it wasn't just a dinner. So it was a party. So why wasn't I? I was like, how old are you? Please, 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 Wikipedia, tell me how old this man is. Because am I watching an episode of My Super Sweet 16 or am I watching an adult who co-parents with someone? Like, I am so... And then Chris like still feeds into it. She's like, well... Okay, like, and then she's like, Courtney, I hope it's okay that I invited Scott. And Courtney's like, do whatever, people, do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm happy. It has nothing to do. And she's like, but have you spoken to Scott? And Courtney's like, no, I don't need to. I don't, what's going on? I don't care. Like, the fact that people are behaving this way. Yeah. And again, it's like, also, he's just been broken up with by like 3 16-year-olds who all were like, you're not actually mature enough to date me.
You're not mature enough.
Like,
I'm looking for something serious. You are just a pastime.
Yeah. And he's like, why am I not invited to your birthday party? It's like, now I see what Sophia Richie was like, I think I'm done with here.
It's so fascinating. That's another thing that I watch. He was always like, Sophia is threatened by how much I co-parent with Courtney. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure she was just like turning 21, being like, now that I can finally legally drink, I don't need someone buying me alcohol anymore.
I know. This goes back to like the age gap conversation where it's like the delusional element of men that think while dating a 20-year-old that the person's going to stay with them and then having to create a narrative about why they didn't. It's like, what? And then the narrative becomes like women are always the ones who want to be in a relationship, but then men try to date someone who's in college.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Well, it's also just funny. The grossest part to me was when he's like, I guess I need to date someone my age, more in my age range. So 25. So maybe I'll even do 30. No, not 30, not over 30. And it's like, dude, you're disgusting.
You're disgusting.
No one even wants to date you.
You're disgusting.
If it's Bradley Cooper saying this, like that makes me like disappointed because I want to like him. No one wants to like you.
No one wants to like you.
Everyone is just using you for Instagram clout. Like anyone who's hooked up with you is just like, one of the Hamlins trying to get like a reality TV show for themselves. No one
Basically,
is interested in what you have to say.
No one gives a flying fuck.
You've
you
tried
piece
to commodify being quote unquote talentless. We're not interested.
We're not interested, but yet I watched 5 episodes about it, but I'm not
interested.
Well,
I did watch 5 episodes about it and I actually am excited to watch more today. I loved the Kim SNL moments. I loved when she asked Bo and Yang for a picture. Loved when my friend Grace Shaker, friend of the pod, Grace Shaker, knocked on the door and said, Lorne Michaels is ready to see you to Kim. It was.
I was wondering because I was like, I wonder if Carolina knows a bunch of these people.
I was like, oh, my God. I love when friend of the pod and Lorne Michaels decides to come see him. It was exhilarating. Honestly, like I've been to SNL twice, brag. I was exhilarated watching Kim talk about it, like breaking down like, OK, so. Monday, you hear ideas. Tuesday is the table read. Wednesday, and I have to shoot all night for these pre-tapes. I was thrilled. Thrilled, I tell you.
It honestly just made me think, like, I was like, I just wish there was a reality show about what happens at SNL. Like, then we get to see Selena. When Selena Gomez is there, what happened? When, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure not much happened because I think, well, I don't need to say, I don't need to talk shit about Selena. I'm here to talk shit about Scott and Kendall. Now I'm going into Selena Gomez and I don't need to do that.
One of my favorite moments is, of course, Kanye bringing Kim her sex tape.
Didn't need the monitor. Can we just say that? Wasted charge for overly heavy bag on the airplane. You did not need the monitor of the computer. It literally is. The monitor is lifeless when disconnected. It has nothing.
I just love that they're like, Kanye flew economy. Kanye flew economy next to the bathroom. I was like, babe, I flew Spirit to get to a wedding once. I threw a middle seat in Spirit to go to a wedding of people I didn't even like that much. I, too, have suffered. Okay, so this is my favorite part, though, is she's talking to Chloe about her monologue where she says, I was married to the best rapper of all time, the richest black man in America, all this stuff. The only thing, the reason why it didn't work out is his personality, etc. He is upset because she said the best rapper of all time. And he said, I'm so much more than that. I'm a designer.
I can't.
I was like, I love that he didn't care about her saying that you have a terrible personality.
Also, please, 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 world, whoever in the universe manages the Rolodexes and the file cabinets of the world, file this under. Why are women the ones who get made out to be dramatic and crazy when this is a man's response to his ex-wife saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, no, I'm actually so much more than that. Like, men are so immature and insecure. And it's like, I just can't understand that we grew up with like an opposite narrative.
He also said that he's upset that she said they were divorced. She said he wanted me to say I filed for divorce. Like, he didn't want me to say that we were divorced. So I was it's exhausting.
Meanwhile, people are like sending around videos of her completely naked having sex with someone. And she's like, okay, I'm going to try to go through like the right legal things. And he's like, she said I was a rapper and that's it.
That's so true.
I also loved what she said. I don't know if you got to this part, but when she was talking about how like if he talks about their relationship in like a rap, it's like, that's so art. Like, that's art. That's amazing.
Right.
And then if she says anything on a reality show, it's like, that's slander. Like, ew, she's so low for doing that. And she's like, these are just two different forms. True. Of expressing yourself. Like, listen, Kim, I hate what you do for capitalism, but I'm here for you right now. And if you or Courtney ever want to call up and talk, let me know. Anyway,
we're going to take a quick break and we are going to be back to talk about manic pixie drunk girls. Please stay tuned.
Dream girls.
I know, it was my joke.
Oh, that's funny.
I want you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back with True Romance. This week, we wanted to talk about the manic pixie dream girl, a stock character in films, mainly because for most of my teen years and my early 20s, actually, I was mimicking one whenever I was in a romantic or sexual situation. So a little background, film critic Nathan Rabin actually coined the term after observing Kirsten Dunst's character in Elizabethtown. One might remember the Cameron Crowe movie with Orlando Bloom and Kirsten Dunst. And he said that the manic pixie dream girl, quote, exists solely in the fevered imaginations of sensitive writer-directors to teach broodingly soulful young men to embrace life and its infinite mysteries and adventures. And more recently, Nathan has walked back on the diagnosis of the manic pixie dream girl, saying that the term has been deployed now in ways that are sexist and it's become as much of a cliche as the manic pixie dream girl trope itself. So yes, I agree it's overused, but I really want to talk about it because I've had some revelations recently. And The first of which is that I love the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Like, I get excited when I see a character like this in film or TV because, like, she's frothy, she's enjoyable, she's fucked up, she's great fashion style, and she has a screw loose. And from someone who has had a myriad of disorders, I love seeing, like, a weird, sick woman once in a while. And so I wanted to go through a few of these characters and get your thoughts, Devin.
Okay, I do have one overarching statement
Please.
To make. I want to just point out and throw it out into the universe just like so it can be out there. I'm not necessarily commenting on it, but I'm putting it out there. I think it's interesting that women's wingspan and like full selves are commonly shown in movies as like being brought down by a man who they then step away from and step into their full self. And then these movies with the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, it's like a man finds himself through the lens of like trying to understand a cool girl.
Yes.
And I just think that's interesting.
That is really interesting. What I appreciated reading more about this character was how all of these girls have no backstory. Like,
yep.
We're watching all these stories about guys going home again. I mean, that's Elizabethtown Garden
State.
Always
guys going home again.
Like,
yeah.
Can you really ever go home? It's so boring.
I'm like, why is this so complicated for them? Like, I just get on Metro North. Like,
yeah, you can't go home again. You just need $2.
I know. It's like, I guess I've been missing out because I always have my headphones, like noise-canceling headphones on. And, like, I'm, like, reading something. I guess if I were to take those off, I could be just approached by a Manic Pixie Dream Girl who's like, where are you going? Oh, yeah. You're going there? Like, let me tell you a little story and then my whole life would be different.
Well, what's interesting to me is that they all are shrouded in mystery, right? Like, that's
yeah.
a part of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Mystery is another way of saying you don't know anything about her because it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Like, her backstory doesn't matter. What she's into doesn't matter. All that matters is the guy's story. And how mysterious and wondrous she is that she wakes him up to it. So I'm going to first bring out the iconic Manic Pixie Dream Girl, which is Natalie Portman in Garden State, the girl who says the band called The Shins are going to change your life. And she has seizures. And that's pretty much her story.
And she had like pet hamsters that died and she buried them in the backyard.
Yeah. And that she at one point goes, do you ever feel unoriginal? So you want to do something weird that no one's ever done before, like this. Meow, 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 meow.
It's so hell. It's so hell.
It's so crazy. What I thought was interesting, which I thought was so well put, is Roger Ebert in his review of Garden State.
Wait, well put with Roger Ebert? Okay, good luck.
Okay, wait for it.
Good luck.
I agreed. I agree. I was like, wait, why am I reading this quote? He says, He describes Natalie Portman in this movie as an unbelievable, quote, movie creature. He says she is a girl who is completely available, absolutely desirable, and really likes you. He notes, we learn almost nothing about her except that she's great to look at and has those positive attributes.
Yep.
So what these Manic Pixie Dream Girls bring is like this, like, they saw me. They like me. They, like, are focusing on me. And they really want to be with me. And that's magical.
They don't want to be with me because they're like, oh, I'm not like the other girls. I don't really care about being in a relationship.
Oh my God. She's so mysterious. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
She doesn't want to get married. Okay. What's going on with her?
She needs to trust me and we need to be together and she needs to bring those walls down. It reminds me of Franklin Leonard, the creator of The Blacklist here in Los Angeles, which is, if you don't know The Blacklist, The Blacklist is a list of like the 100 best screenplays that haven't been made yet. Anyway, I asked him, like, what story are you sick of reading? And he was like, the older white male writer who's confused and lost until he meets a young girl.
Yep.
And I was like, God, there's so many lame screenwriters out there like writing like porn for themselves, basically.
Right. And they're like, when am I going to meet the girl that changed my life?
Exactly. And they're like, she's 16 years old. Woody Allen being like, and she's 17.
She's actually my daughter.
She's actually my daughter's best friend. So I watched Garden State when I was 13. And it was the first of what was to be 100 of confused boys going home stories. And I realized a few things. I had to like The Shins and I had to have a seizure. Meaning I had to have something fucked up with me, like right. dark and weird and secret.
What did you choose? What did you choose as your dark, weird secret?
I mean, listen, I was probably always going to have an eating disorder and right. problems with alcohol. But there was a part of me that thought that love or a boyfriend would love me out of those problems. And I had to present them to be loved.
That you'd be like, so I'm sick. Can't you see? Exactly. I'm sick. And then in reality, we're like pissing the bed and like.
Exactly. Seven. Exactly.
In reality, I know.
Was my problems were unappealing. I was like throwing. I mean, trigger warning to anyone who has eating disorder. I was like throwing up after every single meal. It was disgusting.
Right.
My eyes were like bloodshot and I was like bloated all the time. It was God, I wish that like I would look more glamorous. I mean, and I was like drinking so much that I had like a beer belly and
yep.
like, yeah, as my Uncle Roger loves when I talk about on this podcast, I was pissing myself and like yelling at people when I was drunk. I was not like this romantic drunk.
No.
And instead of a guy saving me from these problems, it was like 60 milligrams of Prozac and weekly therapy. So that is one of the things I'm obsessed with for the Manic Pixie Dream Girl is that it teaches girls like you have to be a little bit broken for guys right. to find you interesting.
You have to be fixable.
Yes. And like guys don't like girls who have it all together. Like there's no mystery there. There's no mystery to a right. girl who knows exactly what she wants.
Yeah.
Lost, bohemian, confused.
Yep. But you know who doesn't feel that way?
What?
Travis Barker. Finding a fully realized woman in her best era of her life. Travis Barker.
We love to see it. I want to talk about this movie, Elizabethtown, with Kirsten Dunst as a flight attendant who loves her job. That's one thing I remember from this movie. She's so cheery. Orlando Bloom is going home again, folks, because his dad has died and he has a bunch of feelings about it. He's flying on a late night flight and Kirsten Dunst is like, hi there. And she's so super cheery.
Can I say one thing?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
No, what is your one thing?
All right. So my journey with Garden State was that like when I watched it in high school, I was like, oh my God, this is so romantic. Like I want to be like Natalie Portman. I want something like this.
I loved it.
And then rewatching it as an adult, I was like, is this a movie about a kindergartner who gets lost? Like I was like, this woman is written as a child. Like she's fully written as a kindergarten child. And he is written as like, whatever, like just a fucking self-serving narcissist. Who cares? But my experience with Elizabethtown is like, I don't even remember seeing it. I just remember when it came out, I was like, oh, that was a bad movie. So I decided to rent it on Google Play and SD for only $2.99 so I could like figure out what it was. Because it right. said in the research Carolina did, it was like, oh, this is movie like coined the term. So it's like, I have to see it. So what I did was that I just kept like clicking fast forward and seeing where I ended up. And it was really a whirlwind because it was like, first it was like Alec Baldwin being like, we have lost 65 million dollars. And I was like, wait, what happened? And then Orlando Bloom is like, he created a shoe and he's really upset about it. Also, I was like, oh, where has Orlando Bloom been? Like, he was like a hot guy of the minute. And then I realized he's actually one of the worst actors of our time. And it's really, I'm happy that he learned that and just like became a trophy husband to Katy Perry. But then he like gets on the plane and meets this girl and she's like, where are you going? Oh, let me draw you a map. And it's interesting because she doesn't have the brooding, like I'm mentally ill quality of other Manic Pixie Dream Girls. She's more like you said, like cheery and whatever, but it's just the same thing as with Natalie Portman's character where it's like, she never speaks an actual human sentence. Everything is like Benz, don't trust Benz. Like it's like when you're fast forwarding through the movie, you're like, what's going on? What is anyone talking about here? What is anyone talking about here? And then I get to the end of the movie and it's like him listening to a playlist she made and it tells him to go to the site where Martin Luther King Jr. took his last breath. And he's like, this is a great place to throw my white father's ashes. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it's scenes of him looking at like footage of Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm like, what is this movie about? The last scene was him being like, you deserve a man that wants to build a vineyard with you. And the next scene is, this is where Martin Luther King Jr. was shot. And like, and I was just like, I'm not sure what happened. Then they go to a fair.
Yeah.
A carnival. And it's like, can people just be normal and tell people where they're going to be? Like, I'm sick of the movie thing where it's like, they're like, is she going to show up or not? Like, just be normal and text each other what you're doing. Like, I don't understand that. But anyway, that's what I have to say.
She gives him a scavenger hunt. One of the stops is where Martin Luther King Jr. was shot. And then eventually the scavenger hunt leads him to her, and it does go along with the playlist. While remembering this, I was like, I can't think of a more unhinged thing to do to someone you have met once or twice.
Yeah.
Except, which is the other thing she did, stand up at a podium in an empty room and go, I like you.
Yeah.
Which I was like, this is so humiliating, not for this character, but for honestly for Kirsten Dunst. Like, I felt bad for her in that moment.
I know, it was like her whole thing too was the same thing we've seen with other Manic Pixie Dream Girls, where she's like, I like you, but I'm afraid of commit, like, but I don't want to be tied down. But Ben's really like me, but Clark's don't, and but Claire's do this, and what, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Okay, this is what also drives me crazy about this movie, is that I cried at one point. And that's okay. To remind you,
Carol, what point even was it at?
He's remembering his dad. And
oh yeah,
he's
that
listening.
Was, yeah, that was kind of sad. That was kind of cute.
But this is the thing, bad movies can make you cry. It's what I was watching the Dave Chappelle special that was transphobic and awful like a couple of years ago. And I remember the person I was watching it with was like, see, you like it. You laughed. I did not laugh at a transphobic joke. And I said, no, I didn't like it. And people can make me laugh. And it doesn't mean it's good.
Right. That's what I always say about Hitler, too. And I'm like, why aren't people getting this?
Listen, his stuff is funny. I don't like him still.
Yeah. Is that okay with you?
Okay. His art is funny and it makes me laugh.
So people are complicated.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie taught me that I have to cheer a man up and I can solve his depression if I'm happy enough, even if his dad just died.
Louisville. No, it's Louisville.
Is that what she says?
Yeah, he like mispronounces the town where he's from, which makes no sense. And she's like, no, it's Louisville. Let me draw
it's like,
you
but
a
he's
man.
Australian, as you can hear in his terrible American accent.
I know his accent is kind of like he's doing like a Batman thing where he's like, listen, I just want to say, but also... One of the things I was reading about Manic Pixie Dream Girl tropes is that, like, it's always, like, the guy kind of pushes the woman away and is like, okay, I don't really want to talk to you. Like, I'm on a... Because, as you said, they're always going somewhere. And it's, like, Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine, he's, like, on a train. And he's like, okay, leave me alone now. And same with Zach Braff is in the doctor's office. He's like, can you please leave me alone? Like, I'm doing paperwork. That was in Elizabethtown, too. He's like, I don't really want to talk to you. Like, I'm just on a flight. And she's like... Okay, let me just sit down and like draw you a map. And it's like, okay, so she's giving red flag behavior from the start, but also like, is that what we all should be doing? Is that like the note to single women is like, just violate his boundaries right off the top and just like give him a song to listen to, give him a map to use, give him whatever
his boundaries off the top.
Whatever you can do. I guess that's the message.
And I took it.
I didn't. No, maybe I did. I don't know.
I want you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
I want to talk about one that was most influential on me, probably, which is Almost Famous, a movie that I truly watched so many times since I was 13. Kate Hudson, Penny Lane in this movie, has sex with guys and it inspires their music. And I think I fully believed this was a thing for like 10 years. So this is what I'm interested in. Penny Lane is so fucked up. She tries to kill herself because her rock star boyfriend ends up with his wife. So when she's about to die, she's rescued by the shy main character. And this was like my hero. I mean, Devin can confirm, like, I still dress like her. It influenced me to this day. I dressed up as a groupie for Halloween when I was 15 years old. I only wear floral dresses. I still really want to hook up with musicians. I don't understand what's like, why this had such a lasting influence. Why a group of people singing Tiny Dancer on a bus inspired me to my core.
Yeah.
This is the thing. And I think it also really messed up my brain because it's also the movie that taught me you have to put yourself in a situation to show men how they can save you. I always wanted to seem fucked up and like sad and dark for guys to eventually want to help me. And there's this Kurt Vonnegut quote that says, be careful who you pretend to be because you will become who you pretend to be.
Mm-hmm.
I did become really depressed and fucked up. And again, like I think that I always would have alcohol allergy. I think I always, you know, I had eating stuff since I was 7 years old. But I think it took me a while to understand that we are our only saviors, that people cannot take you from the brink, and that that's actually not what relationships are for.
Yeah, I remember seeing this in high school, and like it was pre-nose job. I was just kind of like a pointy-faced like girl with braces in Connecticut, like spending my time at a local Starbucks, and I just saw this movie and I just was like, it just was this feeling of rage where I was like, I just know that's never going to be me. Like, I know I'm never going to be a groupie. I know, like, I can't even get someone to like look at me for more than 10 seconds at school. Like, it just isn't going to be me. And I felt this burning rage of like, that's so fucking unfair that Kate Hudson can just be like hot like that. And I'm not.
I don't think she ever got over the part. She's only been with musicians since. And she always tries to do like this, like, peace fairy girl attitude, even though she's also a capitalist, has a company called Fabletics that's been accused of having a terrible environment of sexual harassment.
Yeah, where's the LuLaRoe about Fabletics?
I cannot wait. If you look at Kate Hudson's Instagram comments, so many of them are like, I can't get out of the subscription. Please let me stop paying for this.
We need the doc about the consequences of Kate Hudson playing Penny Lane in Almost Famous. And I think the consequences could even be drawn back to why Trump got elected if we really thought about it.
I looked up on, there's a Reddit thread that was what happened to the manic pixie dream girl you knew in real life. And I'm going to say 90% of them were drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that's like, you didn't know them because all you cared about was how they made you feel about yourself. So yeah, you could have, you know, maybe there was shit going on at home. Like they probably just had a drug problem.
Yeah. Like, can we find a scene ever, as Carolina pointed out, can we find a scene ever where any of these men asks the manic pixie dream girl, like what's going on at home or
how many siblings do you have?
How many siblings do you have? Like what is your core trauma? What is the reason you dye your hair a different color every time I see you? Like, why don't you want to have lasting connections with other human beings, which is a pretty primal survival instinct, is to bond with other people, and you don't seem to want to do that. Like, is everything okay? Have you seen a therapist? Have you seen a psychiatrist? Like, instead of like, are you going to love me and run away with me or not? And they're like, not really. And then they're like, she ruined me. She ruined me.
We have a classic here, which is Breakfast at Tiffany's, which...
I have nothing to say. I don't watch movies like that.
Yeah. All I'll say is college girls hang the picture of her in their dorms, of her smoking and looking at jewelry. It means nothing. This movie means nothing to me. I found out when I was 24 that she was actually a prostitute, and I hadn't read between the lines. And hey, this makes it a lot more interesting, but I don't know that. There's also a lot of racism in this movie.
Oh, and yeah.
She has a cat.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, my fascination with that is only the fashion sense of it. Like Blair Waldorf and Gossip Girl's obsessed with Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's like, who? This is the most uninteresting thing ever. But because this girl is supposed to be interesting to a man, we find it interesting.
I know.
Because she's rich, because she has some sense of money around her. It's so dumb.
I have to say, like, I really hope that the stereotypical dorm room posters for this generation are better than ours, because it was like... For us, it was like Breakfast at Tiffany's, whatever that movie is where Marilyn Monroe's like dress flies up, and then Endless Summer, the surfer movie. Like, I feel like that was everyone had. Yeah. And it's like Endless Summer, I don't know what that is, but it seems like trash. And like, what is it even? Like, if anyone has intel, let me know. And then I didn't see the other movies, but but I'm just saying they all seem bad and lame. So can hopefully the new generation has, well, they probably all just have like Euphoria shit. So that sucks.
Yeah.
There's no hope. I mean, Euphoria, I guess, there's many, many manic pixie dream girls in Euphoria because it's written by like a middle-aged white man. Yeah. And they're all just like women who need to be saved by someone.
Yeah. I've been put in situations where I should have been saved and absolutely was not. So
yeah. Where is the people when we need them to save us?
I have no idea. Truly do not. I'm like looking for Daddy Warbucks. Annie is the original manic pixie dream girl.
Annie is
the orphan.
Wait, trademark it now. Trademark it now. Annie is the original manic pixie dream girl. Trademark it now.
We also have Cara Delevingne from that John Green movie, which I like only because he's like this mysterious girl in my town. I think that it's called Paper Towns. And you're like, that's a supermodel. She's not mysterious. She's a supermodel. And she like sticks up for him. She's like the most popular girl in school, but she's obviously like a 26-year-old supermodel. But John Green has made a killing, a fortune, this middle-aged white guy with glasses, out of writing girls who change boys' minds by being hot and mysterious. And like one girl in this book, Looking for Alaska, that became a Hulu series, like reads a lot. Like that's her thing, is that she's hot and she reads a lot. And then Ansel Elgort, famed asshole in The Fault in Our Stars, is like the manic pixie dream guide to Shailene Woodley. Like, full of quotes and just exuding love all this time. It's just like a certain point, really gross.
These manic pixie people are just exhausting at a certain point.
They're exhausting.
It's like, I just want someone to watch The Staircase with me and then rewatch it.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I don't want to hear about like your weird, how you feel on original and you have to do a dance about it. Like, I can't imagine trying to keep a straight face through that.
I can't imagine. I would be like, I have to go.
I'd be like, oh my God, my mom just called and she said I have a stomach ache. My mom. She said she has to pick me up and I have to go.
Okay, I hate this, but I have to go. I love that little dance you did. It's so funny.
Oh my God, that dance.
I wanted to do some deconstructed manic pixie dream girls, which I think are really interesting. I think they're more complex and they still comment on it. First of all, Clementine from Eternal Sunshine. Simply, you can't make me dislike this movie. A girl recently at a dinner I was at said that this movie didn't hold up. And I had to really work on not raising my voice to disagree. I was like, oh, that's so funny. That movie means a lot to me.
I do love this movie, too. But it is interesting that Kirsten Dunst still plays a manic pixie dream girl in this movie without even being the main character. She's always crazy, beautiful, like that movie, too. She's always the manic pixie.
She's so good in that movie. Crazy beautiful is porn. Clementine says this in Eternal Sunshine. Too many guys think I'm a concept, or I complete them, or I'm going to make them alive, but I'm just a fucked up girl who's looking for my own peace of mind. Don't assign me yours.
Ooh!
And in his memory, when Jim Carrey is remembering this, he looks at her and he's like, I remember that line. And he's like, I still thought you were going to save my life. And that was one of the things that was like the downfall of their relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, he also says a line that was really important in regards to what we're talking about with not knowing the background to a manic pixie dream girl, where he says, I thought I knew her so well, but I don't know her at all. What a loss to spend that much time with someone only to find out that she's a stranger.
Yep. I know. Well, it's like, it's really just a movie about two people who met at a time in their lives where they both needed too much to have another person, like,
wow,
be their partner. Like, they just both had a void that they needed to fill and they were trying to fill it with each other. But I will say, and again, going off birth control, the effect being hormonal intense sex drive, Jim Carrey is never hotter than he is in this movie.
I thought the same thing when I was pulling up pictures from this movie. I thought, oh, I forgot this was the movie there I would have had sex with Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Because I can't think of another one.
Remember when there was like that rumor that Ariana Grande had made out with Jim Carrey, like on the set of Kidding? And it's like all the promotional photos of Kidding. It's like, ooh, really? She did that? But the first thing I thought was like, she's probably seen Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. And she's probably like, that's who you are to me. And that's who you will remain to me.
It is definitely, he is like a manic pixie dream guy in real life, but too manic for my taste.
But it's too much. Way too much. Like, I don't know.
But Clementine does say something interesting to him in the movie where she's like, you don't talk. Like, why don't you talk to me? And he's like, well, talking all the time doesn't necessarily mean communicating.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't talk all the time. But it's that thing of like, right? Like, you're just attracted to how alive she makes you feel, but you're not doing any effort to actually get to know her.
Right.
I also want to talk about one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
Which is Silver Linings Playbook.
Ah, I thought she was going to say Frozen 2. Okay, go ahead.
Frozen 2, Manic Pixie Dream Girls, everywhere.
Everywhere. Actually, every kid's movie. Lilo?
Oh, yeah.
Lilo from Lilo and Stitch? Okay.
Finding Nemo? Dora?
Dora is Manic Pixie shit.
In Silver Linings Playbook, we have this guy who hates himself for his mental illness, and he meets someone who is okay with who she is, and we get her whole story. And what I liked about her was I was expecting her to be pretty when she was crazy. And she's not. Like, she's way too intense.
Yeah.
And she's like, you are afraid to be alive. You're afraid to live. You're a hypocrite. You're a conformist. You're a liar. I opened up to you when you judged me. You're an asshole, which is like all things that are true. But she's so intense. It's scary. And there's not something hot about it.
Yeah.
And it reminded me a lot of actually me with an eating disorder when she's talking to her sister, because when she's mad in this movie, she distorts her face to be so full of rage. It was like a sense memory. Like, Julia Stiles sees her and is like, no, 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 no. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
And that's literally what my sister would say when I looked like I was about to, like, you know, really lose it.
Yeah.
But I like this movie because it talks about the stigma around mental illness in a way that we almost never see. Like, he calls her a slut and she's like, yeah, I was a slut. And there's always a part of me that's sloppy and dirty. But I like that with all the other parts of myself. Like, can you say the same? And it's like another thing where it's like, yeah, this isn't about fixing anyone.
Yeah.
This is actually like a girl who doesn't need to be fixed. And she's not here to fix you either. Like, she's really fucked up. But another thing I really like that she says when she's asking him to do the dance contest is she says, I do this time after time after time. I do all this shit for other people. And then I wake up and I'm empty. I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, so that's actually what it's like to be a woman, where it's like she is showing up to just be his like character's like inflection point for his arc. But really, she's a real person. She needs her story, too. Just my favorite, like, I'm like, so many Manic Pixie Dream Girls are portrayed, again, as, like, this cute version. But she's literally like, yeah, I just got fired, actually, by having sex with everyone in my office.
Like, yeah.
She's so obscene. It makes me so happy.
I wish the real Jennifer Lawrence was as cool as her.
We all do. This was quite a journey. Thank you for going on this ride with me.
Some of you might be concerned about the amount of anger I displayed in this episode. And
I'm not.
What I have to say is, find me a girl who can fix me then.
I'm going to put a scavenger hunt together for you.
Listen, if it's about me, if it's a scavenger hunt about me, Devin Leary from Connecticut, USA, please include a civil rights monument in the scavenger hunt, please. And also, please remember always, all listeners, please listen in and remember this. Annie is the original Manic Pixie Dream Girl, okay?
Yeah, but also maybe Mrs. Hannigan.
Mrs. Hannigan is what happens when a manic
they get
pixie,
older.
When a Manic Pixie Dream Girl hits menopause. Basically.
You guys, please rate, review, subscribe. We love you so much.
Love you, Carol. Love you, everyone.
Love you, Devin. Love you, everyone. We'll catch you next week.
Bye. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season.
Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good to your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.